This is the Techno Buffet Podcast, episode number 621, recorded Thursday, March 2nd, 2023. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting week gone by. And yeah. Jerry, how are you doing? Are you having a good week?
We'll go with no and leave it at that.
Well, as I told you just before we started recording, it's Thursday. It feels like Friday. I feel like I've crammed 5 days of my week into four. And I still have one more day to go. Also, every work email that I sent out the entirety of Monday never got sent.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Why did that happen?
Don't know. I have some theories, but I'm not supposed to fix those. We have people who do that, and they aren't really helpful. By the way, that was Monday, and then somebody from IT did try to look at it, and by Wednesday, my email was completely unusable, so I've switched from the local Outlook client installed on my work computer to just using the web Outlook client. So essentially, they still have not actually fixed the problem, so I have switched to an entirely different piece of software instead of actually having a solution.
That's what I love about Google Workspaces.
This is the interesting thing. As a personal email, I have a Google Workspace account. You've heard me complain about it. But what ended up happening was that with my work email, they issued me Outlook. They installed it on the computer, which they gave me in the summer after, 6 years of the previous one. And it actually did what it was supposed to be doing for a while, and you can't bulk archive emails in the Outlook client as easily. So, I get a lot of emails. I went away for 24 hours. I got 500 emails. I really wish I could figure out a way to get people to stop putting me on distribution lists at work. But anyway, that's a different problem. So, yeah, well, the other problem is that, I would send an email and the thing would freeze up for 3 minutes. At least the web client doesn't do that. But I like web clients. I don't have a problem with them. It's just the reason I am using something is purely because nobody seems to be motivated to fix it.
Interesting.
Well, we, like many departments, including mine, the IT department also has a staffing issue. They said, until we get to it, can you use the web client? But I don't know if they're going to get to it this week, this month, this year. I once asked them to fix a software program that wouldn't for 3 years because they said, you're the only one who uses it. I said, no one's using it because it doesn't work. If it worked, maybe more people would use it. I'm just the only one who's bothered to complain about it. But anyway, knowing my luck, my IT department listens to Techno Buffet podcasts for hobbies. Anyway, jokes aside, what else happened? Trying to think if I did anything productive this week, because I felt like most of my week was trying to get my kitchen put back together. So I haven't completed half of the projects I wanted to do that didn't involve kitchen prep.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, unfortunately, I'm still locked in a battle of wills with the guy who did the work in the kitchen. He said he's done. I define done as nothing more to do, not mostly done. And we seem to have a difference of opinion on that point. Because mostly done means you don't know when he's going to show up and do the like five things he needs to do to be done. So on Tuesday, I went to work and I got the alert that people were in my apartment because he has a key until he's done. So I came home eagerly to see what, you know, had they knocked all the things off the list. They left the door to my apartment unlocked, which makes me feel very safe. And they did one thing.
Wait. Was that sarcasm? Sounded like sarcasm.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert, but that sounded like sarcasm.
No, it definitely was sarcasm.
Okay.
They did one. Oh, actually, no, they did two things. They replaced a broken switch plate. So I mentioned that they took my smart dimmer switch out and replaced it with a regular one.
Yep.
And then I told them to come back and put the smart switch back in. I gave them a different one that wasn't dimmable. And they did that, but then there was they broke the plate. So they came back, put a plate on, left 2 gallons of paint in my kitchen, left the door unlocked, and left. Full day's work. I'm in the wrong business. Anyway. That said, we'll see what happens. I feel like I know many contractors who do good work, but it seems like I have to micromanage people who I shouldn't. That's what contractors are supposed to do. Not force you to constantly ask them, when are you finishing? When are you tomorrow? Well, no, you didn't show up today. Therefore, how do I know you're going to show up tomorrow? I will. Okay, tomorrow's passed. Where were you? Anyway. Rant aside, that's been most of my, and fortunately next week I won't be able to do any cleaning, because I'm going to get my parents.
Ooh.
I'm bringing them back to New York.
Interesting.
Well, it's not as interesting as you think. They've been buying out the entire row, not like all 6, but 3 seats. Because they don't want anybody sitting next to them on the plane, so they're paying for the extra seat anyway, with or without me.
Yeah.
So I might as well go for a couple of days and then come back. Also, we just had snow here over the... On Monday morning, I... Not Monday, Tuesday morning, I went and had to dig my car out of the snow. It wasn't that much snow. I've had worse, but it's been a while. The last few years, I've avoided having to dig anything out of anywhere. I know you don't know much about snow.
I know it's white and doesn't show up down here.
It does every so often.
Not here.
Specifically Jacksonville or Florida in general? Because I know it's flurried in Florida. Accumulation is where, but...
It has not snowed in Jacksonville since, believe, 1989.
Okay. And I assume you didn't live there in 1989.
I did not.
Okay. So the best I can say is it was a relatively mild thing, but it was Tuesday, my car was covered in snow that I had to click off, and then Wednesday, my car was covered in ice, which I had to scrape off.
Oh, that sounds so horrible.
More inconvenient. Now, the thing is, this was, again, less than 2 inches of snow. I've had to deal with, like, feet. Usually, New York rarely gets above a foot, but... Yeah. Once it gets above 2 inches, it's just sort of a pain to get rid of. If it gets above a certain number of inches, there's a guy I can call who will bring, who during the summer does gardening, who has guys who have nothing to do in the winter, so they're willing to come over and shovel. It's taken me years to find somebody who's willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the last time that they did it, it's like there's a small lawn in front of the house, and the lawn had so much. Snow that they piled on it from the driveway that you could have made like a snow sculpture.
That sounds like fun.
I think I'm well past the years where I want to play in the snow.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But
you'd never played in the snow.
I've never been a play in the snow guy.
I thought you'd just never been in a place where there was enough snow for playing.
I have been.
Oh, Interesting. See, we learn something about Jerry every time we...
I don't anymore, and that's by choice.
Okay, well, I am looking forward to choosing to be in warm weather for a few days, although unfortunately it means I'll be in Florida. Which, as you know, while there are good things about it, there are also bad things about it, and I can say the same thing about New York. And, of course, New Jersey.
I don't know of any bad things about being in Florida.
I don't like it too hot. I like it temperate. Not too hot, not too cold. But we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Either way, I'm going to go for a couple of days, spend the weekend, and then fly back. And then I'm going to New Jersey the following weekend.
Alrighty.
And I will be looking for positive things that I can report back so that, because I'm still feeling bad that I hurt Murph's feelings. Okay. By the way, he did send me a message. He appreciated the effort.
Cool.
So there's a new version of Home Assistant.
What? Is it the beginning of the month?
Well, I don't know. It seems like February was just a really short month. It passed very quickly.
It doesn't seem like that.
Well, you know, some months, you know, that are longer than February seem like they pass quickly also. Before you know it, it'll be 2024.
One can hope. No, I don't wish for time to pass fast. That's not true.
Well, only sometimes. There are times when you sort of wish a experience that is stressful would be over. But you don't wish time in general would speed up. Just like short periods of it where it seems like it's moving slowly.
Just the times when I'm at work and it sucks.
Yeah, I sympathize. As I said, 5 days worth of week crammed into 4 days.
Yep.
So Home Assistant 2023.3 has a feature to quickly reload all of the reloadable parts of Home Assistant. We?
Yay.
I thought that was useful.
I would agree.
But
the thing is, it's easier to find them.
Yeah, although you don't always want to reload all of them, I think it's useful when you do.
Yep.
The assist, which is the voice thing that isn't voice, so essentially the language requester, have been given the ability to ask for the state of things around your house. So you can say, how many lights are there in the office? By the way, I think they missed an opportunity here. If they were asking that question, I wanted the answer to be, there are 4 lights.
Wow.
What?
I just asked my assist how many lights are on. Care to take a guess?
5 lights.
Well, keep in mind, there's only 3 people that live here. 17 lights.
I was trying to make a pop culture reference. Don't blame me.
I don't think Star Trek counts as pop culture.
Why not? It's popular and it's culture.
Okay, fair enough.
Besides, I haven't seen this week's episode of Picard yet, so don't spoil it for me.
I haven't either.
Okay. Hopefully it's good. I think they're trying. I thought the villain did well.
The who?
The villain in season 3 of Star Trek Picard. They have a villain played by Amanda Plummer. I thought she did very well in last week's episode.
Oh, well, she got absorbed by the queen, or she absorbed the queen, so.
No, that was season 2.
Right?
That was season 2. That was Allison Pill.
Oh, okay.
This is season 3 where they have a new villain. Okay. You know, you can't have the same villain between seasons for some reason.
I don't know. The Borg make a pretty good villain.
Yeah, but they did not bring back the character. They dumped a couple of characters because they brought back more of the Next Generation cast in season 3.
Interesting.
And I hope we're not spoiling anything for people, but Amanda Plummer, it's publicly known, is playing the villain in a new villain who has not been seen before in season 3, and I thought she did very well in the second episode. She created a very interesting villain.
I don't know who that is. I'm looking at the picture of her, and I don't know who that is.
Well, her father was Christopher Plummer.
That doesn't help.
Well, he also was in Star Trek.
Oh. Okay, well, I mean, I look forward to seeing it.
Yeah, but you know what it is. They bring the, you know how nostalgic things can be when you bring the old gang back?
Yep.
So, moving along, they put in cleaner entity information dialogues. So, essentially, they rearrange things so that the tabs for info, history, settings, and related are removed. And now there are some icons and an overflow menu.
They are.
I think it looks nice.
It does. I still like the mushroom lights, but it's cool. I mean... Yep.
There are new dialogues for light switches and siren entities. So these are essentially new designs that look more like sliders and switches and such. More colorful.
Yep.
You can now change the precision on a sensor. So if your sensor has data that has too many decimals, you can tell it to not show them.
Which is cool.
Well, I know I've been in that situation where I wanted to round. I didn't need 4 digits of precision.
Yep.
There's a new create automation dialog. So this is, you can pick a blueprint or create one from scratch. So they've added some additional options.
It made me realize that I have a lot of blueprints installed.
Isn't that interesting? I always have trouble finding just the right blueprint for what I wanted to do. I did create my own, though, for one situation, but I've been too lazy to create other ones. I've just made the custom automations from scratch.
That's what most of mine are. That's what most of mine are. Yep. Anyway, it's nice to, as a reminder that, hey, you have these.
And I reuse the same ones sometimes. They did a whole bunch of things with Thread and Matter, but I sort of ignored them because I haven't really played with that yet. But they are improving it, and I'm sure there will be a point at which I will want to do something with it. At some point in the future. If you... happen to have the ability to use Python 3.11. Apparently they now support it, and apparently it is more performant than other Pythons. Not a bad thing.
I don't know. Pythons can be bad.
Pythons can be bad?
Yeah, they're like dangerous.
Yes, but this is Python, the language.
Also bad.
Okay.
I'm not. I know Home Assistant runs mostly on Python, but as languages go, I'm sorry. Something invisible should not be semantic. Anyway.
Moving along, there are a bunch of other little things. You can use templates. In the 4-parameter state certificates, you can now hide the legend for a statistic graph card. There are a bunch of performance improvements that you may or may not notice. And on and on. So you can read the show notes for all of the other ones. They do have some new integrations, but it only works if you have a Dormakaba Bluetooth low energy lock, you want to retrieve energy prices from a Dutch utility company, or you want to control your Amada SDN devices. So, stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Well, it was a short month. They got a bunch in. I'm not saying there's anything that's... they got a bunch of nice features that are not gigantic, but impactful.
And if you're one of those people that have the SwitchBot tilts, those are now supported by the SwitchBot integration.
Yes, I have not tried. Because one, I never got around to recalibrating that one tilt that I tried to use for the off-brand use. And two, I haven't upgraded my instance yet to 2023.3 because I keep meaning to migrate it to the computer to the right of me from the computer to the left of me. So that I can retire the computer to the left of me. Been busy.
I got SwitchBots last month, or the tilts last month,
yeah.
And had to do custom Bluetooth integrations, which was cool and interesting. But now I get to remove that custom integration and use the standard one.
Yeah. Well, again, things eventually catch up. Takes a little time, but it does happen. So, moving along. Android is adding support for eSIM transfer between devices.
Ooh.
So, they're hoping to have a tool. And apparently, the first to adopt the support is going to be the European carrier Deutsche Telekom. I'm just worried about this because already people can do physical SIM swaps for malicious reasons.
Right.
I'm curious to see how do they make sure that this doesn't get exploited.
I'm sure they won't.
Well, okay, let me rephrase that. How are they trying to make sure it doesn't get exploited, whether or not they succeed or not? No security is foolproof. I know because I know plenty of fools. Anyway, moving along. Apparently, Google has gone to Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. And they issued a whole bunch of updates, which they always do whenever there's one of these big tech events. So they've announced updates with their Android partners. And, of course, discussed how they can keep their keeping devices up to date. So I've put that into the show notes. Not much to say about it beyond that. And moving along, they have new Android and Wear OS features.
Ooh.
Yeah. So the Google Drive PDF viewer on Android is getting annotations. Either with a stylus or your finger.
Neat.
And of course, moving on, Keep will allow users to showcase a single note without opening the app in a widget. Google Meet is bringing noise cancellation to more devices.
Google Meet.
Yes. We've covered all this. Right. It's the thing nobody seems to use. Well, actually, that's not true. People use it. Nobody I know seems to use it.
Nobody I know uses it by choice.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know anybody who says, let's meet on Google Meet. Anyway, and I'm referring to the Zoom-like version, not the part of it that used to be Duo. Anyway, moving along. Apparently, they have some additional emojis. We.
Never too many emojis.
And animations. Apparently, Google Wallet will have fancy animations complete with penguins and other characters that are cute and useful.
Penguins.
Because what I want when I'm trying to pay for things, is I want animated penguins. That really adds to my experience. So, let's see what else we have here. Oh, yes. Smartwatches running Wear OS 3 and higher will feature Keep shortcuts and accessibility options. Unfortunately for me, my device was promised Wear OS 3 when I bought it, but I still don't have it.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Mobvoi. Well, no, I'm not missing anything because I don't use my watch as much as I could. I've mentioned before, it's like a travel and a work thing. So, also useful if I'm taking a walk.
Yep.
So let's see what else we have. Oh, yes. Google TV has an update with a new landing page for content. So they're adding new content pages to help people search for various content. And there's a Spanish page.
Well, that's cool.
Yep. I thought so. How about this one? Mozilla says the Google Play Store's fancy data safety labels are worthless.
Well, but of course they are. What?
So essentially, their data safety labels are supposed to help users understand what private data is used by the app and shared with third parties. So Mozilla took a look at the top 20 paid apps and the top 20 free apps in the Play Store. Out of these, 80% had some discrepancies between their privacy policies and the Play Store disclosures. About 40% had major discrepancies, and only 6 out of 40 received a positive rating from Mozilla. And among the poorly rated free apps would be multiple Facebook apps, Twitter, Snapchat, and Samsung Push. TikTok's privacy labels earned the worst overall rating, with apparently them outright lying. And even Google apparently showed discrepancies between their privacy labels and their policies. Apparently, only Google Play Games received the top rating in the study, along with Subway Surfers and Candy Crush Saga. So essentially, they put in a system where Google wanted to make people be able to make smart decisions by giving them information about what's going on with an app, but apparently they're not requiring it to be accurate or even mostly true. So it's a voluntary system, which doesn't really help. And while I don't always agree with Mozilla, I appreciate that Mozilla as a nonprofit is independently commenting, because you need occasionally outsiders to mention when things don't make sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving along to Android Auto. Apparently, it took some maps direction from CarPlay.
Really? That's not good.
I thought you liked CarPlay.
I do like CarPlay, but I don't like the Apple's version of their maps.
Well, this is specifically the fact that you weren't able to interact with maps on your phone while Android Auto was running.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, the advantage to that sometimes is if you have somebody riding shotgun who wants to change the map.
Yep.
And has the phone.
It is very, very useful.
Also, I finally got the new Android Auto layout. So, I've been driving. As I mentioned, I went to work in the snow. And I have, if you remember, a Hyundai Sonata. Now, it's a couple of years old, so it has a smaller screen than the newer ones, which have larger screens. So I was in a more recent late model Sonata, which has a much wider screen with more real estate. Mine has a not quite squarish screen, but it's narrower, but they have a layout for side-by-side. So now I can either have full-screen apps or I can have split-screen where there's a side panel with my whatever podcast or music I'm playing, and then most of the screen is taken up by the map. Or that side thing when I'm in a phone call would replace, again, map on one side, phone on the other. So I still have input on the phone. We'd be better if I had a wider screen, I see why. But still a massive improvement. Anyway. Moving along, Google paid hackers over $12 million in bounties since in 2022. Of that, $4.8 million would be security researchers finding vulnerabilities in Android. And the single highest paid report was $605,000 for one bug report. Once again, I'm in the wrong business. I seem to have lost Jerry.
No, I just had myself muted so that you didn't hear all the wacky stuff I'm doing.
Oh, what do you think about $12 million and $605 million as the largest single payout?
That's a lot.
Maybe you're in the wrong business.
That's a very, very lot.
Just think about it. If you find one bug that's, you know, a year, that could work out very well if you find one that's worth $600,000, but maybe not everybody's that lucky.
We're good.
I think it's a combination of the both, because you can be a very good security researcher. Bugs are not, if they were easy to find, then they'd be found very easily.
Yes, that's true. But it doesn't matter how lucky you are if you're not, I don't know.
No, I'm saying it's a combination of the two. It is the skill, but it is also the luck in, one, you found it before anybody else. Two, there was a bug to find.
Okay.
And on the other side, again, there are plenty of people who could just not even notice a bug. And that's the skill part. So yep. Moving along with more googly news. What?
I like that. Googly news. It just sounds funny.
Well, you know, you can only look at your googly news with your googly eyes. Anyway, Google is making Android phones safer with hardened firmware. So it's working with its partners to harden the security of firmware that interacts with Android.
Good. We could use harder stuff.
Well, we're back to security again. So essentially, firmware is something that Google doesn't have control over, except maybe on Google devices themselves. And they're putting Android on top of it, so they might as well work with them to make sure that things like the Wi-Fi chip in your phone that has firmware or the Bluetooth chip can't, but doesn't have vulnerabilities or doesn't have problems. I just like the summation from the people in Android Police, which is, you may not notice all these enhancements in everyday usage, and that's a good thing.
Yes, we're getting to the... What are we getting close to? Oh, we're getting to the point where things are stable, right?
Yep. Maturity is a good thing.
Platform.
Yep. So last time I was talking about how YouTube might subsume Google Podcasts, but apparently they have said no. That will not be happening. So what they are doing with podcasts are separate. So once again, they are saying, yay, we're going to have two different apps that do similar things. Because why not? Anyway, right. I'm going to ignore the ringing phone. Because it stopped because it was probably a spam caller. Those are the only people who call me most of the time. Magic Eraser is no longer exclusive to Pixels. It will be coming to Google Photos for both Android and iOS if you've subscribed to Google One. Oh. So essentially, if you pay... So here's the question I have to ask. I have a phone that has Magic Eraser. I have a Pixel 6. Do I now have to give them $2 a month to have a feature that I already had? By the way, the answer is no. I just wanted to sort of make that point that they're saying that now you can get it if you pay, and I'm happy that they didn't actually do it the way that I'm talking about. Pixels are going to remain.
When people make things available. For cost.
Well, I'm saying Pixels will continue to have it for free. They're not going to start making me pay for something I already had that came with the phone.
Yep.
And if you are a user of Google Drive, Docs, and other workspace websites, they're getting a Material U redesign.
A Material U.
Yes, that's the successor to Material. Material U.
Yes, but whenever you say it, I always think material. I think my brain thinks Material University.
Oh. Well, just remember, we're living in a material world.
Not anymore.
No, excuse me, it's a Material U world.
Well, at least things will line up.
I hope. Anyway, the only other thing that I could say that I thought about this week was getting a LED matrix board that I could send things to from Home Assistant. So there are all these like flexible LED matrix boards you can get that you could hook up to an ESP32 or an ESP8266 and then just send stuff to it. That would make a nice, interesting display. Except I don't know how I could get a rigid case for it to mount on the wall because they're all flexible.
That's crazy. Flexible?
Well, listen, they're flexible panels, but nobody has a flexible panel with something that you put around it. I suppose I could 3D print a case, but I have not turned on the 3D printer in a while. Which I want to get back to, but I just there's just too much disaster in this room for me to get to that. Well, you know, I need like a week of just dealing with things here. The mess that was in my living room moved into my bedroom because I needed the room in my living room to create to bring in the mess from the kitchen. I'll get everything back to where it was, which was still messy before the guy started. Anyway, so do you have any interesting stories before we adjourn for the week?
I do not. I am interesting storyless.
I told you I have not been as productive as I'd like to, but I will try to do something interesting between now and next Thursday. Was next Thursday or the Thursday after the one you weren't going to be around?
I will be here for next Thursday. I will not be here for the Thursday thereafter.
Okay. So next Thursday we will discuss and confirm what we will do for the subsequent week. If anything.
Okay.
So enjoy your week. Anybody out there who has been following us for a while, please remember that we do actually have a live stream that people don't generally attend on YouTube, although I think it's worth keeping up the YouTube thing because apparently Jerry knows at least one person who listens on YouTube.
That listened at least once, maybe twice.
Yeah, that's listens, plural, twice. That's more than once. I haven't. I'm sure there are stats somewhere that I
can. The plural of verbs most often has no S.
Okay. But what I'm going to say is if you show up while we are recording on the live stream, even though there is no video and it's audio only, there is, of course, the YouTube chat, and we will be happy to respond to you. For example, if somebody says something, I may respond to it, and I may say it out loud, so Jerry can also respond to it. So you can be part of the conversation, and we usually record, not every week do we have a live show, but we usually record it currently at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Thursdays. So you could be here. I remember the good old days when Daryl would show up.
Yep.
Sometimes Murph. There was that other guy. Why am I blanking on his name? I apologize to the person who occasionally showed up whose name is just escaping me at the moment.
Door-to-door G?
Oh, no. He never showed up on the live stream. He has shown up, and hi to him. I hope he's doing well. You just reminded me that he sent us all of those links during our slow period, and I did forget to use them because things have picked up a bit. But I am saving them for a rainy, boring week.
Oh, okay.
So until next time.
Till next time.
Okay, I'm going. Folks. I'm going to go clean some more dust.
Yay!
Has to happen.
It does.
If I want to get things back to normal, I do have to get all of the dust that was created here. He made a lot. Yep. So goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.